Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Jacob Reimer. Ohio State's Matt Patricia confirmed today that he'll be back after agreeing on an extension to remain as the Buckeyes' defensive coordinator. Here's Patricia on his excitement to return to Columbus.
We love Columbus. We love the Buckeyes. We're going to work tirelessly to continue to build the defense and go out and defend the Shoe. So we're excited to get back at it and certainly looking forward to next year. But just wanted to express my gratitude and appreciation for Buckeye Nation and how much you mean to us. And we're just excited to be here.
In 2025, Patricia's defense held opponents to 9.3 points per game. That's the fewest since 2011. College hoops tonight. 21st ranked Miami of Ohio is at Eastern Michigan, looking to make their record 28-0. Tip off is at 6:30, and Cincinnati goes for their fifth win in a row at number 16 Texas Tech at 7 o'clock. This update sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at Old Bag of Nails. Get a buy one get one free deal on burgers on the app. Terms apply. See app for details.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
So let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand record for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah.
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a Tuesday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with my guy, A-Ward Sports, Austin Ward. We got Reimer behind the glass here this evening. Austin, happy Tuesday to you, my friend. What's happening? Good to talk to you.
Is it Tuesday?
I didn't turn your mic on.
You're usually such a gentleman. I just assumed it was on. But I wasn't.
He was testing you.
There was also no snare in my headphones. I was very confused.
Had nothing going on there?
Like maybe I had come to the end of the road here.
Blew out a speaker?
After a nonstop extravaganza of radio.
Oh, what do you mean? You've just worked morning and night for the last, 9 days in a row.
I'm trying to fill out my punch card. Do every show, complete the world tour, and then I get a t-shirt.
Working in the coal mines.
I love to tell that to Allie and Liberty when I leave the house, that I'm heading to the coal mines.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about Ohio State football.
All we're doing is just going and sitting, talking. Not that bad. Just
dudes talking ball. Heading off to the content factory.
That's right.
We'll see ya.
See what we gather today.
It's off to be a great day. I can't believe, though, that Jacob Reimer missed that opportunity with North Carolina last night. That's really got me rattled to start this off.
Why don't you tell everyone what was the conversation we were having about 20 minutes before the show started?
Well, I asked. I said, did everybody make sure to show their support for Reimer's North Carolina Tar Heels? If you had a profit boost of some sort, you had an app of choice that you wanted to be using, everyone was just down on the Tar Heels. Not me. I don't blink twice. And I love college basketball.
I know you do.
It's the most important thing to me right now.
I told Reimer explicitly on Friday before we left, I said, do not, under any circumstances, text me on Saturday. All right? We got a day off from each other. I don't even want to hear from you. And then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, get a text from Austin. Boy, look at this college slate that's going on here. I was forced to text you guys.
That was Austin, not me.
I know, but you responded. You weren't supposed to. Send him a separate text. All right? He was in here. You should have seen him last night. So we had a Buckeye Roundtable, obviously, that was going on. We had talked to you.
I know there was a Buckeye Roundtable going on. I was on it.
Yeah, I know you were. So we talked to you a little bit earlier in the 6 o'clock hour. And thank you for that. And so North Carolina and Louisville tipped off at 7 o'clock, which basically renders him useless for the rest of the show.
Well, I was needed in a few segments
later. I know that you were needed, but I'm saying for the most part,
and I was locked.
It rendered. Yeah, you were. You did a great job in that one segment we needed you for in the 7 o'clock hour. And so we're sitting here and it's probably, I don't know, 7:03, 7:04 at this point. And we have the golf league that is on ESPN, the basically giant league where they just hit it into a simulator, then go over to the green and putt and chip and everything. And you have never seen a harder crash out about a game not being televised than what my guy Reimer gave you. He goes, I mean, this is fake golf that we're playing here. And you're not going to show a top 25 matchup, the start of a top 25 matchup
on ESPN? I mean, what are we even doing? Are they going to delay the start? I'm like, I don't know. Probably, man. They do that all the time for college basketball. And then it flips on to the actual game, and they're under the under 16 timeout. There's like 15 minutes left to go. He's throwing his hands up in the air. There's 5 minutes already gone in this game. Look, we've missed so much. I'm like, Jacob, it's fine. You got 35 minutes left in this game. You're going to be okay.
I think I was just most upset that there's nothing on the bottom line giving an update of like, oh, they're going to tip off at 7:05 or something like that. There's nothing there. Like, their most used graphic now on ESPN has to be, oh, this game after this game is starting at 9:07.
Check out ESPN News.
Exactly. Yeah. It's on ESPN News, ESPNU. It's ridiculous. We can't fit TGL in 2 hours. What are we doing? We can't fit a college basketball game in 2 hours. It's 2.5. Come on now.
I kind of want to see what the ratings were like for TGL compared to North Carolina and Louisville.
Oh, just through the roof.
Just for fun.
I don't remember who was playing last night, but it was electric.
They spiked at the end with all the Carolina fans and Louisville fans trying to watch their teams.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Arthur Blank was in the stands last night. It was a huge deal. Atlanta Drive were playing. They're 4-1 in their home hole in the golf league this season.
That was
the one stat I picked up on. That and Neil Shipley made the first ever ace. That's the two things I've gathered from the golf league so far.
Got to throw that hammer down.
Yeah, they do. I don't understand it, but it's currently on right now, and Ludwig just hit a perfectly beautiful little driver off of whatever tee box that they're on. I'm not sure. We got a great show lined up for you here this evening. Television's Adam King. He's going to join us at 6:30. James Laurinaitis was on our airwaves, linebackers coach for The Ohio State University. You're going to hear from him in our next segment. Austin, we'll get to your first question of the day at around 6:46. Pertains to the backup quarterback battle at Ohio State. We'll get into the pulse at 7 o'clock, and then at 7:30, Mel Kiper loves some Buckeyes. So we'll get into
smart
that.
Man.
We got some combine talk that's going to happen as well. All right. Now that we're here and you've had multiple days.
I wonder what he's going to ask me, Reimer.
What's the biggest thing burning in your brain about the Buckeyes now that Matt Patricia has officially inked his contract extension with Ohio State, Austin?
I'm kind of frustrated that I've been telling you that the Matt Patricia deal was done. Berm and I've been talking about it on the Austin and Berm show for 10 days at this point. And now Ross Bjork says it and it's official. Oh, he's so much more important. I'm glad that that's out there. I'd love to see the actual details, most specifically to the buyout, how that influences and impacts Ohio State into the future. Because I don't know that it ever got to the point with Matt Patricia where he had a physical piece of paper to look at or a DocuSign offer in front of him with dollars and cents from NFL teams. It was never reported by NFL media, and that the way that works at the NFL level is different than college football, which every interview is done under cloak and darkness.
And also, too, if it's being reported by a media member of the NFL, like an Albert Breer or an Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, name your favorite NFL reporter. If they're reporting something, it's like 99.9% already in the barn at that point.
Maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
But beyond that, the way that you have to report who you're interviewing or if you're requesting interviews, I know that Matt Patricia was in the college ranks. He doesn't necessarily apply to that, but you'll see, you know, the way it works for NFL teams. We had this person in to interview for this position, head coaching candidates, coordinators across the board. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of secrecy about the way that they operate at that level, which is not to say that teams were not interested in reaching out to Matt Patricia, but it did not maybe reach that point where it was an imminent threat to Ohio State. So that means that what they were working on then was what's the proper amount of money, resources, and buyout information that needs to be done to get all of that across the finish line. Because he had earned the extension, Ohio State certainly did not want to be moving into the future without him. Definitely not at the end of February. But my brain, Beamer, still goes to what now that Matt Patricia, and we knew that this was going to happen, that it was going to get to this point. He'd been shopping for the ingredients. Well, what does it look like when the Buckeyes get in the kitchen? Because he's having to do this all over again with replacing, you know, 8 starters, high-level starters, as Mel Kiper Jr. will tell you about Sonny Styles, Cade McDonald, Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, you know, Caden Curry. Those are big shoes to fill. And also, is the scheme going to change a little bit in year 2?
Probably.
Towards more, yeah, I would assume so. towards more of what Matt Patricia has done throughout his career, which is not to say that he wasn't doing some of that already a year ago. But when you think about the encyclopedia and that number two pencil and all the things that he can continue to add to the arsenal for Ohio State, I think he's barely scratched the surface. So, you know, we're, as we sit here right now, Beamer, like 2 weeks away from the first practice of training or of spring camp, you know, we're not going to see a ton of changes there. Those are the acclimation practices, and then spring break is after that. But, you know, who's going to take those jobs? How different will the personnel groupings look like heading into training camp in August? My mind immediately goes there. Okay, the contract is done. Matt Patricia is not going anywhere. Now what?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think what we have to remember about Matt Patricia is that there is a uniqueness in his style, and being in the NFL for a long time, it is matchup dependent on what his defenses are going to run each and every week. Now, to the naked eye, you maybe you don't notice all the differences that is happening on the field, but you have now an entire offseason with those ingredients that you were talking about procuring. Now you're going to be able to chef it up, get in the kitchen, and work with those ingredients to be able to see what you can make. And the longer amount of time that you go with Matt Patricia at the helm, I do think you're going to start to see a shift in the way that this defense attacks things. Because remember last year when we were going through this here at Ohio State, Jim Knowles left, you still had Caleb Downs, you had Sonny Styles, you had a lot of questions about the D-line, but you had some guys that played a lot. It wasn't going to be shifted a lot because of Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles.
Yep.
Now that those two guys are gone, I feel like Matt Patricia is really going to take a hard look in the mirror, take a hard look at the players that he has at his disposal and say, like, if we need to change up our style, if we need to change up our like base formation, whatever is going to give us the best ability to go out and win games and stop offensive teams, then I think that that is totally on the table for Ohio State this offseason.
Yeah, and I think if you look at, again, not to belabor the analogy, those ingredients, you know, Christian Aliegro doesn't necessarily fit squarely into you have to play outside linebacker, you need to play Mike linebacker, you're just an edge threat, you're just a pass rusher. He can do maybe all of those things. And when you look at TJ Alford or Riley Pettijohn, do they have to play in just one role at linebacker? Can they shift? There's a lot of moving pieces in the front seven, even when it comes to guys that could play nose or three technique or just hold the point in a three down lineman set. Like there's a lot of versatility and experience in that front, even if it's not all at Ohio State. You don't have a ton of that with Riley Pettijohn and TJ Alford, obviously, but Peyton Pierce and Christian Aliegro give you that. And then if you're bringing along these next wave of athletes, you know, what's the right configuration? Can we see more scenarios where there's four linebackers on the field? I think definitely that there's a move towards that. But if you think back to Matt Patricia's tenure with the Patriots and working with Bill Belichick, that's what those systems were always known for. That week to week, you are not necessarily going to see the exact same look. You might see the same personnel, but they might be doing different jobs than they did the week before and might be different jobs than they would do the next week.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be running a 3-3 stack or like a 46 bear front against Texas in the second week of the season. Now, you may see some of that during the season, but I don't think that's overwhelmingly going to be what they run for the entire year as their base package. Speaking of the linebackers at Ohio State, Ohio State linebackers coach James Laurinaitis, he was here on these airwaves earlier today. You're going to hear from him coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, with more on the way, including the all-new RAV4, totally redesigned to be more capable, totally hybrid to fit your lifestyle, with multiple drivetrain options so you can maximize your weekend adventures or your fuel efficiency. And these new RAV4s are coming soon. Contact your Toyota dealer for arrival timing. Toyota, let's go places.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results.
Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222 or visit them online at thewaterworks.com, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buckeye Nation, join us on April 12th at the 2026 Ohio State 4-Miler, presented by Union Home Mortgage, the Ohio Beef Council, and Raising Cane's. This is your chance to run down a tunnel and finish on the 50-yard line at Ohio Stadium. You can also get access to the home locker room and meet some of your favorite Buckeye student athletes. A portion of the proceeds benefit the Buckeye Crews for Cancer. This is something you won't want to miss. Register today at OhioState4Miler.com. Go Bucks!
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
From the first whistle to the final play, being a Buckeye fan calls for commitment and support. Nature Made Vitamins are your winning play. From the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand, Nature Made is made to care for fans on game day and every day, so you can go all in on big wins, tough losses, and still show up for your team every time. Nature Made, proud vitamin and supplement sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Come on over to Heartland. Join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb, coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now watch out for a few rain snow showers during the morning rush hour on Wednesday, and then skies will slowly clear through the day. But overnight lows at 33, highs on Wednesday nearing 50. On Thursday, that storm system now trending further south and away from central Ohio, so only a 20% chance of rain or snow. On Friday, Saturday, a lot of sunshine, highs nearing 60 degrees. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is the Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Austin Ward here this evening. Television's Adam King. He's going to stop by in 10 minutes here at 6:30. What do you think he's got going on in his brain?
I tell you what, he was absolutely fired up on Talkin' Tuesday. If you haven't seen that, today's episode of The Beat, that man is worked up about Tony Petitti and the college football playoff possibilities of expansion, Big Ten trying to get to 24. He's losing his mind about it.
Well, I don't know why he's losing his mind about it. He can't control it. That's how I am with the college football playoff, Austin. Last week I was talking, I think it was to Murph, when this news came down of like the expansion in the college football playoff going to 24 teams. And I'm like, listen, my ideal world is that you would move it to 8. It's not going to go back. Genie can't be put in the bottle. I think 12 is fine for where it's at. 4, I thought, was terrific, but if you were going to expand it, 8 seemed like the perfect number. But everyone who's greedy in college football wanted more games. They wanted those bowl games to be protected, that they could get revenue each and every year. 16 seems like a natural landing point. 24 seems absolutely ridiculous. I'm not in control of the college football playoff, so I'm not even going to get upset about it anymore with what they're trying to do with the college football games. Now, the only caveat that I would be upset about is that, and I know that this isn't going to happen if they do expand it to 24 teams, but if they don't give the higher seeded teams home games all the way into the semifinals, they're just not going to take those bowl games away from the quarterfinals the semifinals, the national championship game, which I think they should. If you're going to expand it, you need to make some concessions somewhere along the way. They're not going to do that. That's the one thing that I'm upset about. As far as the number of teams, I'm like, whatever. I don't even care anymore. You guys are going to do this, TV inventory, things X, Y, Z that we've talked about. But, I mean, just do what you want to do at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we've made this point repeatedly that Tony Petitti's worst thing he's been doing is poor messaging in describing how this is going to work. And even some of his best soldiers are not falling in line on that in terms of not having home games for all the top seeds. Dan Lanning was saying that in the midst of the playoff, that that needed to be the case moving forward. He's seen both sides of that in the 2 years of the college football playoff in the 12-team era. But I don't know, if the genie is out of the bottle, Beamer, why don't we just wish to go back to eight?
Like, yeah.
How many? We got to have at least three, don't we?
Yeah.
I know you can't wish for more wishes, and we can't bring anyone back from the dead, but...
That's technically a wish.
I don't know. The genie made that very clear. He can't make someone fall in love, and he can't bring them back from the dead, and you can't wish for more wishes, but you can wish for a playoff format that has eight teams.
Yeah,
He doesn't make any rule against that.
It's the perfect number.
Some of column A, some of column B.
And they skipped him. Mm. They just straight up skipped the perfect number. At least flirt around with 8 and then go to 12 and then go to 16, then get to 24. That gives you like...
Just see how it feels.
15 years, just for a second, just see how it feels. It gives you 15 years of basically college football playoffs that's expanding. All right, let's see what happens to this. But you went from 4 to 12 and all of a sudden it's like, well, now we're going to only get 3 years of 12 teams and then we're going to go to 24. It's fine the way it is. Stop messing with it. All right? Stop tinkering with
it. Stop asking, all right?
All right? Austin, James Laurinaitis, he joined T-Bone and Tyvus here this morning. We were just talking about Matt Patricia returning to the Buckeyes. Here was Coach Laurinaitis' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Matt, obviously, for a long time. He worked me out here when I was coming out pro day and kind of was here. And I just know a lot of guys who had played for him, knew the football mind that he was. And, man, you want to talk about combine prep. I mean, what a resource for our guys to not only talk to, you know, a former head coach, D coordinator, but I mean, think about how many combine interviews Matt Patricia's done, right? And not only as a head coach, but a GM. And so, and he's just so selfless when it comes to his time. I think that's been probably the statement you've heard from a lot of our guys is that he really does value the relationships with the players is kind of what you've noticed. And he is, I know for a fact, like he won't come out and say it, but I know he does Zooms with all of our guys going to Indy and trying to prepare them and kind of stump them and do all the things that these guys are going to do in these interviews so that they're prepared. And, you know, it takes a lot of time. And while you're also trying to recruit and get your, you know, defense, try to figure out who we're going to be this spring identity wise as a defense. And so like, he is just a guy that is invested in the dudes and they feed off that. And I think whenever you're a player and you have a coach who is invested in you and spends time, like you can get coached harder by them because you know they care. And I think Matt's, obviously, his football acumen speaks for itself, but he's just been a joy to work with.
I think a quick follow-up there would be, well, what exactly is the scheme going into the spring, Coach?
Would love to hear a little bit more about that, James. You'd give us some details on what you're going to do.
He would have beat around the bush. He wouldn't have answered it.
How are you going to use the Texas Tornado, bro?
Actually, you know what? He would have used it. He would have answered that question, but it would have been...
You'd have been more confused by the end of it.
Yeah, it would have been some sleight of hand, just shrouded in mystery.
Because he's so good. He would be like, you know, I know exactly what he'd say, Beam. You and I known him for a long time.
I think he would get very meta football on you and say words that you didn't even know could be strung together. And by the end of your answer, he's like, all right, well, that sounds great. Let's run that system.
I think what he would say is that he said, that's a great question. And the way that offenses are attacking defenses now are changing. You need to be able to adapt and evolve and find different solutions on a week to week basis. And sometimes that can be different personnel packages and different looks. And he would expound on that until he could see like my eyes starting to go cross. Yeah. And then he'd be like, I got him. And then he'd supply the uppercut. And again, then, you know, maybe we'll adjust in by the end of spring and do something else by the time spring camp or training camp rolls around. And
let's pivot to some other question.
That makes sense. And I'd be like, hey, congrats on going in the Hall of Fame.
That seemed pretty cool, didn't it? Remember that one time you got elected into the College Football Hall of Fame? Wow, that was awesome. Here was another one from Coach Laurinaitis. his expectations for the backer room here this season?
So many opportunities, I guess I'd say, for guys to make an impact. You know, I think obviously people saw what Riley Pettyjohn was able to do last year. TJ Alford, I thought, finished extremely strong to the season. You know, there's so many reps and freshman year. I think a lot of times fans just want to see guys in games, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. There's a lot of the game plan stuff, I would say, as you go throughout a season, especially with these college seasons being so long, like the little game plan tweaks can get you as a freshman. You know, there's so much detail in some of this stuff. It's not just go out there and run and hit as easy as it seems sometimes. So I would love to have five or six guys that can kind of go through. I think there's obviously, it's a big spring, I think, for Garrett Stover, Eli Lee, you know, going in the second year. And then whenever you have the freshmen come in early, you're excited to see, you know, what they can do. Not only, like, you don't expect them to be out there just balling and making plays. I mean, that was literally since I've been here, it's only been Jeremiah. But, like, you expect them to, like, hey, how do you learn? Like, how are you a repeat offender? Meaning, like, if you screw it up, and the challenge to our freshmen is, if you see TJ Alford or Eli Lee make a mistake in cover three, say, right? And you go out there in the next rack where a lot of the plays are repeated and you make the same mistake, like, bro, you got to learn from their mistake. Like, we don't have enough plays to learn from your own mistakes. Like, don't be a repeat offender of what I've already coached in the room. It's really a good tell on how much is a kid studying and preparing, and then whether you're going to be able to use them even come in the fall.
I think that's wise words of wisdom to really just about anybody who's playing football, but you heard him wanting to get like super meta on the X's and O's there.
I can't wait to see.
He pulled the reins back a little bit.
I gotta see how Garrett Stover plays in the hole on cover three. I mean, that's, I cannot wait to track it because I can't and I won't, but James will. That's the thing that I love is that both he and Matt Patricia, Tim Walton, Matt Carreri, Larry Johnson, like they know so much football and they're such good teachers and they'll try. Like I know that I don't know anything that they know and I'll ask and then they will try and walk me through it.
Coach, but what is cover three?
I got a pretty good idea what it is, but I don't know what the linebacker's responsibility is on every single snap and I never will, but they're such good teachers and it helps them if I have some level of idea what they're doing so that I can talk about it and not come out like sounding like a complete buffoon.
Should we stall for five more minutes? Adam King is giving us the break sign over there.
Does he doesn't know what a break time is.
No, I don't think he does.
He barrels through every stop sign he's ever seen.
Television's Adam King joins us in studio coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So, check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add on your choice of a sub, salad, wings, a 10-inch pizza, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
This is Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind, that's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and 3-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, and RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Ryan Day's favorite radio show. Probably. Maybe. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Firm's on vacation this week, so he's not going to join us coming up here at 6:46.
He's never taken a real vacation.
Where is Jeremy Birmingham?
That's the voice of television's Adam King. Hello, Adam. Happy Tuesday.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Ooh, the pineapple capital.
What? Is that real?
Yeah, they have a giant pineapple fountain down in Charleston.
Oh, they do. It's beautiful. I have a picture in front of it. But I didn't know that's why they had it.
Well, I don't know if it's the pineapple capital. That's just the nickname I've giving it to it in the last 2 seconds.
Pineapple, that's a lifestyle choice.
Facts.
You cannot.
Upside down, right side up.
We were at the F1 race 2 years ago.
Oh, this is going to be crazy.
This is wild.
How very European of you.
I know. This is wild. So
get ready with that dump button.
My mother is a McLaren fan. It was in the midst of papaya rules. And, you know, she's getting a little bit older, and she sees another McLaren fan walking by, and she goes, "Pineapple!" And I was like, what did you just say? So, you know what? Are you talking about papaya? And she was just so embarrassed.
She just screamed pineapple at a stranger?
And I said, and Mom, like, pineapple can mean something else. You guys have a camper over there. Like, you got to get your fruit correct.
That is wild.
Also, pineapple!
I don't know what I would do if someone yelled pineapple. I think I'd be scared for my safety.
They just kept on moving.
Yeah, that's...
I think you would inquire.
I just don't appreciate that you just came out here and said it's the pineapple capital of the world.
Well, I mean, it's definitely not.
Like, but everything that you say, I don't take for fact. What? There's somebody out there that they were getting out of their car, and the last thing they heard you say is
pineapple capital of the world, fact.
And then they got and went into Target for the rest of their life. They're going to be like, hey, do you know that Charleston, South Carolina is the pineapple capital of the world?
They're going to drop that and work tomorrow by the water cooler. And some guy or gal who knows exactly where the pineapple capital of the world is be like, listen here, idiot. That's not true. That's not a fact. And then he's going to be embarrassed by that.
I know that.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that.
Pineapple capital of the world, I'm going to lock in, is no. Where do they even grow pineapple? How do pineapples grow?
Well, they grow them in Hawaii, but pineapples are not native to the islands of Hawaii.
I think they're Costa Rican.
All right. He's Googling. He's typing away. Everybody at home, the answer is...
What is the pineapple capital of the world? Here are five facts.
That's not what we want.
About Jensen Beach earned the nickname pineapple capital of the world in 1895.
Wow.
Where is Jensen Beach at, though?
I don't know. I thought it was a person, to be clear.
It's just outside Charleston.
Is it Florida?
Florida.
All right. Well, wow. Look at you, Reimer.
Wow. Why did you know that?
I only have it up over here, too.
Oh, good. Okay.
You didn't have to tell us that.
Thanks, Google.
Well, I almost guessed Florida because I was thinking Georgia's peach, so Florida would be pineapple.
Well, aren't they known for their oranges, though?
Florida
citrus? Yeah. I know it's the Sunshine State, but it's more of
indeed.
More of an orange growing.
Maybe they just own every fruit.
What do you think our fruit is? What are we known for?
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Corn.
That's not a fruit.
I know it's not, but that's what we're known for.
We do have a giant field in Dublin that is just straight corn.
My favorite thing?
That's right.
Football. You know what my favorite thing about Ohio is? And I've lived a lot of different places in my 33 years on planet Earth in this fine state. You can be 10 minutes in the dead center of any city in the state of Ohio, all right? And 10 minutes from that exact spot, you will hit a farm.
Mm. Ooh, that's a fun challenge. That's a good point, because I'm thinking Upper Arlington, you just gotta
head
west.
Down lane.
Yeah.
You can be out there in the middle of a beautiful round at the Ridge Golf and Gardens. Yeah. And then just pop a tee shot right into a cornfield.
I've done it before. And I've gone into that cornfield and have gotten more balls out than I put in there.
Or you could miss your drive on number two and hit a farm in
also,
a barn.
I've also done that before.
Thornapple is just 2 minutes away from Hilliard, and you can drill a cornfield off the ninth tee box pretty easily.
Yeah, plunked multiple off the road there before.
Yeah.
Screeching traffic to a halt.
There is nothing scarier for me than hitting near a road. It is.
Oh, you can't. You're mentally weak.
No. Like, it's
scared
not.
Scared to be great.
It's not even a joke anymore. I can't do it.
What's your natural miss?
My left. And the roads are always on the left. They're always on the left. And it's like, if you're like, you're not. And then somebody's like, you're not going to hit them.
So aim right.
Reimer.
That accentuates the
first time he's ever thought of this, though.
Reimer. I'm not trying to miss the fairway. I mean, I have confidence in my... If I'm going to swing, I'm
trying to score.
It doesn't sound like you have confidence in your swing.
I have confidence in my...
If there's a street to the left.
Well, and the other thing is, it's just the idea that, like, the rule... Like, on a golf course, the real world doesn't exist. Like, you're on a golf course, you're in a bubble. And then all at once, you could hit this drive, and then, like, your world is shattered. Like, you're like, well, now I got to get a home.
Breaks the illusion.
Yes. You got to get a home.
That's usually
insurance.
Why I spend 9 hours at a golf course whenever I play around. Yeah.
It's
as soon as I step foot off the property, boom, back into the real world. I don't like it.
It's like a bubble where the phones don't matter, rules don't matter.
It's like the second that you leave the Disney World sign.
That's right. And then you're back in the real world. Yeah. You got Disney in. Congratulations.
Thank
every
you.
Tuesday.
I've got a question for you. Why are you so upset about the college football playoff going to 24 teams?
Because it's stupid.
Okay.
And anybody who agrees with it, I apologize. You may be a very intelligent human being, but you're riding a stupid idea. It doesn't make any sense. It is great for fun. Like, if you're just like a person that likes to watch college football, have a good time. But if you're a person that wants to show up at the beginning of the season, see the best team win in college football, and walk off the field at the end of the year and say, wow, that was a really good way to determine, it's idiotic. You're going to have so many upsets that don't matter because the variables are increased with every single game that you add. I think back to the Big Ten championship game when Mendoza got hit on the first play.
Knocked out cold.
Good knockout. Like, what if that's 1 versus 24? And now you've lost the Heisman, you know, front runner, Heisman winner, and now Indiana's nothing.
Isn't it football, though, at the end of the day?
No.
And that's part of the game?
But, okay, so then let's let it.
Injuries happen,
why
right?
Why don't we have every NFL team in the playoffs? Why don't you just let all 32?
To be fair, before you came in here, I was saying that it's also a stupid idea. I'm just playing devil's advocate in this situation.
Well, don't do that, okay? I'm getting my blood pressure up, and it's...
You know who else caught strays in that conversation?
Who?
March Madness.
Mark, you know, let
but
me tell
best
you
the team yeah, doesn't.
Mean. No, Reimer. Okay, mean. You're a big college basketball fan.
4-1 seeds. We're just in the Final Four.
Name me the last time that you watched March Madness and every single game or the Sweet 16, you were like, you know what? These are the best 16 teams. Last these year. Are the best 8 teams. These are the best. It's ridiculous.
Well, you weren't the best 16 if you didn't get there.
Yes, that's so stupid.
Agreed, Jacob.
That's so stupid. You play.
You got to play the games. You got to show up, be ready, no
That's
matter
right.
the opponent.
You got to play the games.
You play to win the game. No, it came out perfect. You play 35 games or whatever it is in college basketball at this point, and then you show up to March Madness, and then Oral Roberts shows up and beats you as a 2 seed, and everybody goes, this is the greatest thing ever. You know who it wasn't the greatest thing ever for? Chris Holtmann. You know who really didn't like March Madness that year? Chris Holtmann.
You're telling me that when Jack Golke for Oakland caught fire against Kentucky, that wasn't fun?
Let me tell something. You're looking at a guy who saw
that ended Calipari's run. What about Giddy Potts for Middle Tennessee State and their run
yeah.
6 years ago? That was great.
You're looking.
Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast.
The Vermont Catamounts.
Oh my God.
Dan Giddens.
You're looking at this as an entertainment-based company, not a sport. Because it's great. I love every minute of it. But you know who didn't really enjoy the Oakland player catching fire was Kentucky that night. They were not having a good time. And you know what? They had a pretty good season, much like your heated rival of Duke, who has a good year every year and then loses in the first round. Like, that's yes. not real. That's not. That's
You're telling
not
a, me when they lost to CJ McCollum and Lehigh, that wasn't fun?
Fun is not what I'm looking for in college football. I love the fun of March Madness.
Football,
I'm fine
zero
with it.
Fun, sir.
Zero fun, sir. And I want, when a national championship game is played, I want to look down there and go, you know what? These are at least arguably the best 2 teams in the country.
For the last 25 years in college basketball, over 50% have been in either a 1 or a 3 seed in the national championship game. So you're getting a top 12 team in the country.
You know what I don't want to happen to college football is what happened to Ohio State against Brandon Knight in Kentucky. That team was one of the greatest teams in Ohio State basketball history. They have one off night, and now it's just a sideline story that everybody talks about. Remember when they were 22-0? If that should not happen in football.
Kentucky was very underseeded, I think. That
you know
too.
What, Reimer? Just come on.
Should the 2014 Buckeyes made the college football playoff, Adam? Because JT Barrett got knocked out of the game. Some guy named Cardell Jones led him on a 59-0 victory. And then you jumped Baylor and TCU in that final ranking.
I'm not saying
they should have been ahead of him already.
I'm not saying that.
That's different as 4 teams, too, at that point.
A playoff format works. I actually don't hate a 12-team playoff format. I think that is the number. Arguably, I would say 8. Mm-hmm. But I think 12 teams is fine. But then once you let the next 12 teams in, give me one team without looking at that computer, without using the Google, that deserved,
I'm on the YouTube chat,
that deserved to be in the playoff last year that would have made noise. Give me one team that
none.
You're really...
None. Nobody.
So what are we doing?
I'm on your side. I just wanted to hear you get fired up.
Good thing Bodie's not behind the glass.
Yeah. When Ohio State upset Alabama in the first playoff, was that fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was fun.
Oh, okay.
I said playoffs.
Watching Cardale Jackson just run over Eddie Jackson, or Cardale Jones run over Eddie Jackson. That was fun. That was a good time.
I'm not saying I'm against playoff. I'm against when you get to the level of arguing a 5-loss team and a 4-loss team. So it's just stupid. And then you introduce too many.
There's a little Dom in that stupid.
There was, yes, there was.
I think you've been hanging out with Uncle Dom too much.
Oh, gosh.
Stupid. That was very Dom-esque.
That's great.
Hey, now he's going to stop talking.
I know.
You can't tell him to that.
All right. Hey, by the way, I did start the trade. Meredith and I started the trade this last week.
And?
I would be so much better as a trader than as a faithful.
No.
No, yeah.
I could spot you in 2 seconds.
No chance.
Yeah. I would pull you in the room and I'd be like, hey, look at me. Are you a trader?
Yeah.
And you go. No. Yeah. I'm not a trader.
I'd start laughing.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I think he'd go in there.
They'd just ply him with a couple IPAs in there in that room.
Yeah, that's right.
You're dead tonight, pal. I'm killing you.
Yeah.
Hey, you keep your mouth shut. It's so funny, too, because Meredith hated it the first 3 episodes that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, this is so dumb. And then the last couple of nights, she's like, we need to watch more.
Yeah.
We're hooked.
Let's go.
We're hooked.
Yeah, do you now you see?
I forgot that he promised to watch that.
He did. He was going to try to just sit and watch it at work.
I was trying. I had some guy bothering me behind me talking to me.
That's right.
He sounded like Dom, but he looked much younger.
Adam, thanks for the time. I'm glad that we got you worked up tonight.
Hey, you know what you should get Reimer worked up about is the fact that TGL golf is just so much better than college basketball.
I really guarantee you that this Duke game does not start on time.
You mean the number one team in the country, yes, Duke?
Because it is Duke, they might actually cut out of this early and move this to ESPN News.
That's what happens when they're the biggest brand in college basketball. Sorry, your little podunk team.
Well, they lost.
Raleigh doesn't get the start time right.
They lost to the team in Chapel Hill a few weeks ago.
If you cut away from TGL to show some Duke basketball team, there will be emails.
There's going to be calls.
There will be phone calls.
Adam, have a great rest of your night. All right?
Hey, you guys have a great night. We got to go to break.
We don't really have to. What's Fish going to do? Yell at us?
Exactly.
It's happened before. It wouldn't be the first time. Austin's first question of the day leads us to the battle behind Julian Sane. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Hey, Columbus, big
buy your home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, The Fan.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State team shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Hey, Ohio State fans. Next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O-Fry-O bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the Scarlet and Gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Tax extra.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out my dear friend Austin Ward here this evening.
Oh, that was nice of you.
I want to let you know that we here on The Buckeye Show, sponsored by our great friends over at CareSource. Good show. How you doing? Doing all right over there?
Yeah. Much better now. Sometimes, I was just thinking the other day, how frequently we've decided to start dropping Ka-Chow into The Buckeye Show.
I even did it last night on Roundtable, and I gotta say, I don't know how many stations that goes to across the Ohio State Sports Network, but when I hung up from you, here's a little peek behind the curtain too. I do those interviews in the middle of the day. So I talked to you actually, you were the last one that I did for the day, and that was at like what, 4:15, 4:30? 4:30. Sometime around then. And so you don't hear me sign off because we have to do like reads and we have a specific amount of time that we have to fill in certain segments. So it's much different than this show where it's a local show where you can, you know, kind of miss your break by a couple of minutes and make it up on the other side. That show is very intense because you have a hard out at the top of the hour, which we need to get to. And so everything needs to be calculated pretty much to like down by the second. And I needed one more second to kill in the interview that we were doing with you. So I went back and post edited of me just saying, ka-chow, there he goes, Austin Ward. So if you were listening last night, either on this station or around the state, I can't imagine people driving around in their car listening to that, but like, did he just say ka-chow? What was the deal with that?
It caught me so off guard. I started dying.
So I've wondered two things. So first of all, on Saturday night, we put on Cars 2. Mm-hmm. And
Francesco Bernoulli.
Liberty
Shout out Finn McMissile.
Liberty was like, this is terrible. Said, yeah, I know. I've been saying that for a while. And now he's like, I don't know if I've seen this one before. It's like, yeah, you have. And, you know, oh, yeah. This is the one with all the toe Mater in it. That's why you don't like it. That's correct.
It's more of a Mater movie.
And then.
No, wasabi.
I said, yeah. Don't worry. He's about to eat the pistachio ice cream and then you'll remember seeing it.
It has turned.
Not good. But then we were watching it. I'm like, this movie, how does anyone like it? I don't understand what was wrong with Reimer when he took Cars 2 as the best of the trilogy. And then my mind was wandering. So I wonder if Beamer is just taking more opportunity to say ka-chow on the airwaves because he knows that Willie's not listening and he's allowed to. So because he's living under such an oppressed regime that the second he gets a little bit of freedom, he just goes full on ka-chow.
I think that's exactly the reasoning, because I'm not going to get yelled at by my almost 3-year-old now if I say it. Ka-chow, ka-chow, ka-chow. Feels great.
It's like when you when you get to college and you're like, I can drink on a Monday night.
If I want to.
Who's going to stop me?
Nobody.
This is within the rules now.
I pay for this, right? I'm doing this on myself. I can do whatever I want to. That's exactly correct.
Ka-chow.
That's the reason why we're saying that. Austin, let's get to your first question of the day. It takes us to the race, presumptively, for the backup quarterback spot at Ohio State. Your question of the day coming in. This was a few days ago on lettermanrow.com, which you can always go read it. Between Tavian St. Clair and Ohio State transfer Justin Martin, what steps does Tavian St. Clair need to take basically in year number 2 in his development at Ohio State?
Yeah, he got so few reps in in-game scenarios. And I know that's been a point of, I don't know, frustration, concern, curiosity for Ohio State over the last couple of years with the backup quarterbacks and how much Ryan Day does or does not use them. And I know for certain that the Buckeyes put a lot more stock into the, you know, scout team reps that the Buckeyes are getting these quarterbacks, or you know, some of the opportunities that they might have to, you know, take the number 2 or number 3 defense against the ones, and that they're seeing high level talent and much better defenses than they will ever face in a non-conference game or by getting in late into a game against Grambling. But that game I think still helped plant the seed in the mind of Tavian St. Clair that even if Ohio State was blowing that game out and he maybe thought that he'd be able to just go out and have immediate success, that really wasn't the case. It's not that it was bad. It's just the speed of the game, even against an FCS-level opponent, is different than what he was accustomed to at high school. And I think that that actually, he needed one reminder of that to then carry over to the scout team work and the backup stuff that he was doing as a developmental quarterback. He knew that that was the plan in year one. He wasn't upset about it. It wasn't a surprise to him.
I think he knows that that's the plan for year two.
But it does become a little bit different because I think that Ohio State wants and maybe even not fully needs him to be entrenched in that number two role. But if you are planning on Julian Sain and the succession plan, including Tavian St. Clair in 2027, you know, he needs to take on this head-to-head competition. Like Ohio State brings in someone who has played games, and Justin Martin, UCLA and Maryland experience that he brings to Ohio State. Justin Martin also expects to play, wants to play, going to compete to play. So I think that that's important. That no one is vying for Julian Sain's job. He is a Heisman Trophy finalist. He's in year two as a starting quarterback. He was a former five-star. All these accolades everybody already knows. He's not going to lose his job, and there's not any intrigue about that going into spring. We've talked plenty about where Julian Sain can and needs to get better, but you know, for Tavian St. Clair, that's an all-encompassing situation. That's winter workouts, that's spring football, that's developing more leadership, everything across the board. And you could have envisioned a scenario where if Ohio State didn't bring in somebody with Justin Martin's level of experience, that he could maybe get complacent. That won't be an option now. That's one of the reasons you want an additional safety net if you need to put him into a game in Justin Martin, but you also want to continue pushing Tavian St. Clair to get the most out of him.
Yeah, and I know over the last few years, right, like we haven't seen a ton of backup quarterback works. A couple of years ago in that national championship season, I mean, you saw more Julian Sain than you saw Lincoln Kienholz. And last year, I mean, you did see a couple of Lincoln packages, but for the most part, like you didn't really get to see the Ohio State backup quarterbacks kind of really do anything. It wasn't like at halftime that they're pulling these guys. I mean, you're mostly getting into at least deep parts of the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, like when that's starting to happen. And also, too, you know this, Austin, if those guys are getting into the game and these blowouts, you're wanting to work on some stuff, but you're also wanting to kill the clock. You're running the game out. Things kind of X, Y, and Z on that front. I mean, it's a huge developmental year for Tavian St. Clair. Even go back to where he was at this time last year, like coming off of the heels of the national championship, being around that locker room for the national championship run, the playoff run, and being close to the team for his high school career. Like, I would imagine that, and this is not only just for quarterbacks, but for any of these young freshmen coming in here, like, yeah, it's a bit overwhelming.
It's a lot.
When you first get in here, especially when they're ramped up and tuning the way that they are going into a college football playoff game, going into a national championship game. So then you hit the reset button, you go through your first winter workouts, you get your first taste of what actual football is like at Ohio State in your first spring practice. You're probably just drinking out of a fire hose in summer camp, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, the season is here. I'm third string. I know I'm not going to get in a lot. Lincoln is ahead of me, but now you have the experience. You know what it takes to be a leader on this team. You're watching, you know, Julian. You're watching Will Howard when he was around. You're seeing what it takes to be able to succeed at this position. And I think this is a great test for young Tavian St. Clair in his second year in the program.
Yeah, I don't even think that it's drinking out of a fire hose, honestly. I think it's like somebody drove down the street and knocked over the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And you're trying to like scoop up all the water with a tiny paper cup. Like, it's way too much for anyone to do right away at the level that Ohio State is trying and expects its quarterbacks to do. So that's how much you did or did not see of Tavian St. Clair. And I think he's the first person to admit. In fact, I know that for sure, that some of that caught him by surprise, even though he anticipated what year one was supposed to be for him, you know, surviving against Davison Igbinosin or Jermaine Matthews or even, you know, Aaron Scott or Bryce West is a lot for anybody to handle. He's going to get better for that, though, and that's going to be, I think, one of the most fascinating things to watch in spring.
I believe they say iron sharpens iron.
I've heard that before. And the standard, I'm told, is the standard.
Ka-chow. We've got a list of the best quarterbacks in college football since the turn of the century. We'll yell about that in the polls coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Catch TV. T-Bone and Tyvus, weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, the fan.
Getting cold feet.
Russ Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith, Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag BuckeyesCare.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening. I'm Jacob Reimer. Ohio State's Matt Patricia confirmed today that he'll be back after agreeing on an extension to remain as the Buckeyes defensive coordinator. In 2025, Patricia's defense held opponents to 9.3 points per game. That's the fewest since 2011. College hoops tonight, 21st ranked Miami of Ohio is currently underway at Eastern Michigan, trying to keep their perfect record clean. A win tonight moves them to 28-0 with three regular season games remaining. Other notables about to get tipped off here at 7 o'clock. Number one Duke is at Notre Dame. 11th ranked Virginia hosts NC State. Cincinnati goes for their fifth win in a row at number 16, Texas Tech. And NBA tonight, the Cavs are back at home hosting the Knicks. Tip-off is at 7:30. This update is sponsored by BMI and Federal Credit Union, voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
For the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hour number two of the program for us here on this lovely Tuesday. Hopefully everybody's having a great start to their week. Always want to let you know, too, you can go and watch the show on YouTube, live and local, all day long, starting at 6 a.m., finishing with us at 8 p.m. Just go to 971 The Fan, type that into the YouTube search bar, like and subscribe. And when you do that, you will also get new episodes of the Austin and Berm show.
Oh, really?
That is right.
I wonder if there's any left for the rest of the week if Berm's on vacation.
I don't know. We'll
are we just pulling the curtain back on everything? Okay, fine. We recorded them already.
You'll have to tune in and find out.
Yeah, that's
a much better tease. Tomorrow.
You're so much better at this than me.
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
It's a professional tease.
How do you think he's doing? Think he's all right down there?
Yeah, I saw him on the message board at Letterman Row this afternoon, so I know that he's not actually fully on vacation. He couldn't help himself. It's only Tuesday, and he was writing stories and posting on the message board.
Fish asked Jacob. That's tough. That's a, what do they call
it?
Three
times fast? It's called a tongue twister.
Tongue twister, thank you. Fish asked Jacob the other day. He goes, is Berm coming on Tuesday? I'm like, let's give him a break, all right? We had Mick Walker on Buckeye Roundtable last night who did a great job. Like, let's let Berm have a little bit of time off. He's going over to the Elite 11. They got an opening happening in Indianapolis this week. Those guys are going to road trip together. I'm sure, you know, they'll get into some shenanigans. Like, let's let him have, you know, at least 3 or 4 days off, though.
He can't help himself. he says this all the time. I mean, he and I have been a coverage team for darn near a decade now.
Best one in the business.
And he is the best. And part of it is his work ethic that sets him apart. But it's like, you are allowed to take a couple days off. That's why we recorded 4 podcast episodes last week, so that you could take the rest of the week off. Like, 4 bonus episodes. We record 5 episodes every week, by the way, of the Austin and Burn Show on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV and 10TV Plus. But now he's only been down there. They left on Sunday. It's Tuesday afternoon.
Less than 48 hours,
and he's already just got to keep talking about Ohio State football. Got to go right back into it.
Guy loves ball.
He loves ball.
Can't stop, won't stop.
So it makes him great.
Addicted to the shindig. Reimer, what do you have for us tonight?
I just want to point out that it's 7:05, and Duke and Notre Dame have not tipped off yet. I don't know why we couldn't do this last night with North Carolina and Louisville, but that's a bigger
game tonight.
Yeah, apparently against Duke, number one Duke against 12 and 15 Notre Dame.
Yeah,
well, they probably booked it right. You know, Notre Dame likes a little bit later start. They probably had it pegged for 7:10.
I just think it's a bigger team playing tonight than what was playing last night.
Not two top 25 teams. Yeah, okay. Well. So, Bill Connolly, he put out a list of top 100 quarterbacks of the
2000s. How do you really feel about it? Go ahead, sorry.
In this list of top 12 quarterbacks from the 2000s in the Big Ten, 5 of them are from Ohio State. Number 2 is C.J. Stroud. Number 5, Justin Fields. 6th is Troy Smith. 9 is JT Barrett, and then 11 is Braxton Miller, and I think that is outrageous.
Yeah, so this came from Bill Connolly's list, and again, this was just the Big Ten rankings of every Big Ten quarterback that was listed in his top 100 quarterbacks since the turn of the century of the year 2000. So they're 12 in total. J.J. McCarthy was ranked 12th.
Ugh.
Braxton, 11th. Curtis Rourke, 10th.
What?
JT Barrett, 9th. Brad Banks for Iowa, 8th. And this is, again, just Big Ten. I would have to go and read the entire article to find out where these guys rank. Totally.
I think we've got enough.
Denard Robinson, 7th. Troy, 6th. That's Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
I believe he won a stiff arm statue.
Justin Fields, number 5. Okay. Mr. Dangerous, Russell Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited.
At number 4, Dylan Gabriel at number 3.
Oh, no.
CJ at number 2, and Fernando Mendoza at number 1. Listen, we can argue until we're blue in the face about this and the rankings and what criteria he went off of. I'm just going to pick one thing out. Leaving off Dwayne Haskins, who went for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, that's one thing, which we could obviously get into.
I think that's the first thing.
Yeah, but Dylan Gabriel at number 3. What are we doing? You're calling him the 3rd best Big Ten quarterback since 2000? How does that work? What substance of game did Dylan Gabriel ever win at Oregon? What did he do?
I believe they got blown out in the Rose Bowl.
I believe you're correct. I'd have to go back and check and, you know, check that.
He won a regular season game against Ohio State.
That is true. And a fact. Also won the Big Ten, all right?
Yeah.
Won the Big Ten game against Penn State, who had a nice little comeback in that. But what are you doing? You want to make arguments about Fernando Mendoza being the best Big Ten quarterback since the year 2000? That's fine. Okay. Guy won a national championship at Indiana, 16-0, Heisman Trophy. Okay. That's fine. Have that argument. I'm not here to argue about that. But Dylan Gabriel being 3rd and Dwayne Haskins not even being on the list is outrageous.
The score of that game was 34-8 at halftime.
Yeah. I defy anyone, but I guess specifically Bill Connolly. Let's just slide like a negotiation. On one piece of paper, let's have Dwayne's numbers from 2018. And on the other, let's put Dylan Gabriel's on there. And let's just blind resume this thing. Say, hey, buddy, Billy
just
C.
Just because he played a lot of games doesn't mean that he really did anything.
I feel like they played similar amount of games at Oregon and Ohio, and Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State because...
Well, I mean, career-wise, Dylan Gabriel has the most starts ever for a college football player.
But only 1 year of it was in the Big Ten.
I know. Yeah, that's a great point, Austin.
But I guess if this was the top 100 of all of them, like, he wasn't saying best Big Ten quarterback seasons. Am I right? Should I pause my...
He got 25th. Of the top 100 quarterbacks since the year 2000. Third all-time in the Big Ten.
Since 2000. I want to be fair. If this was not based solely on his Big Ten contributions
only. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Then I will temper that part of it.
This was an aggregated list.
Okay. So his numbers are inflated to the moon by how many games he played and the level of competition that he faced. I don't like it. In fact, I hate it.
I hate him.
I think
you're tacky and I hate you.
It's crazy to me how quickly Dwayne Haskins has just been cast aside from these conversations. That's the single worst part of it for me. Because even if you're just looking, we can have a legitimate argument about the way that he ranked Ohio State's quarterbacks. Forget about the Troy Smith part of it. I mean, CJ was awesome. I love CJ Stroud. Are we all in agreement that that's absolutely the most productive Ohio State quarterback seasons? The 1 year of Dwayne Haskins, I think, was one of the most remarkable passing performances I've ever seen. It was definitely
ball
not
just his, jumped off his hands.
Definitely not his gorgeous. Fault that Purdue was running roughshod over Ohio State's defense.
And Maryland.
I mean, well, but
Anthony
McFarland,
who ran for 330 yards that game.
But Dwayne bailed that one out.
Yes, he did.
I believe he had three rushing touchdowns in that game.
52-49 final, maybe, or 49-48.
No, I think it was 53-52 because Maryland went for the 2-point conversion.
You're right.
That game aged me in a hurry. You have to file snap judgments at the gun of a game, and you have no earthly idea what's happening and what the outcome is going to be. And I think Tuff Borland maybe deflected the ball on the 2-point.
I don't remember the end of that game.
It was bonkers.
It was dicey. Yeah. It was a little bit dicey. But also, too, to you know what Dwayne did, it was also like the 2019 Joe Burrow season. Like, it was inflated because he had to play the entire game because that Ohio State defense was awful.
That's a great point, Beam, because that 2019 LSU team is a fraud.
Where do you think Joe Burrow ranks, Austin? Total.
Do they have him third?
Fifth.
All right.
Joe Burrow, 5. You want to take a guess at the top four? Did you look at this list? Top four quarterbacks since the year 2000? This goes careers.
I think Cam Newton's in that.
All right. Cam Newton is number 2.
Mm. I bet he has Tebow number 1.
Number 4.
Okay.
9,285 passing yards, 88 touchdowns, and also almost 3,000 yards rushing, 57 rushing touchdowns. Vince Young is number 3. Very good job, everyone. We are on to the number 1 quarterback since the year 2000.
I want to make a joke based on how high Dylan Gabriel was that he's going to have Marcus Mariota number 1.
Marcus Mariota is not number 1. Mariota is number 9, sandwiched in between Lamar Jackson and Robert Griffin III.
Oh, those guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Does he have Matt Leinart number 1? How crazy did we get here?
Matt Leinart. I don't even see Matt Leinart in the top 20
far. Is it Bradford?
It's not Bradford. It'd be one Baker touchdown maker.
Number 1?
Number 1 quarterback since the year 2000. Baker Mayfield, 14,607 yards, 131 touchdowns, 30 picks, 1,000 rushing yards, and 21 rushing touchdowns.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did any of the 4 behind him, did they not win a championship?
I believe you're correct. And I think,
how many did Baker win? I believe that number is 0.
I think he's won 0. Again, I know that we're fact-checking here in this segment. I'm going to have to go back and look.
I think you guys are forgetting about the bonus points that you get for beating Ohio State. Dylan Gabriel got to move up the rankings, and Baker Mayfield planted a flag in the horseshoe.
That is true.
So whether we like it or not, you get bonus points for that, beating Ohio State.
Bill says, what about Will Howard?
I mean, I think he won a national championship.
I think he did.
He was pretty good. He also has multiple years of starting experience before Ohio State, so the numbers look pretty good.
Don't let that fool you.
Championship at Kansas State.
We've already talked about leadership qualities for this Ohio State team for 2026.
Will Howard had those.
Yes, he did. How good is the leadership, though, among the offensive line? We'll get to that in Austin's second question of the day. Coming up next, it's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Bishop and Friends.
Good double entendre out of you. Florida State Twins jumped in the pool. Well done. Put that on one of the rejoins. Very good job out of you.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
When it comes to your cancer diagnosis, the choice for your care is clear.
And when you choose the James at Ohio State,
you're opting for care from a highly specialized team dedicated to treating one type of cancer, yours.
A team that studies the unique makeup of your disease to develop a personalized treatment plan.
You're choosing our region's only comprehensive cancer center designated by the National Cancer Institute.
For your cancer care, the choice is clear. The James at Ohio State.
Weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, we're watching for a few rain snow showers during the morning rush hour on Wednesday. Overnight lows at about 33, highs on Wednesday nearing 50 with decreasing clouds after the morning rush. That storm system we were watching for Thursday morning now moving further away to the south, so a lower chance of rain and snow. Friday, Saturday, sunny, and highs nearing 60 degrees. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Austin Ward here this evening. Thanks again, everybody, for hanging out. If you miss anything from the show, including our thrilling talk with television's Adam King in the 6 o'clock hour, you can always go back and watch the show on YouTube and or your favorite podcasting platform. Just type in The Buckeye Show. Boom! There you go. It's going to be very good.
Ka-chow.
I can't wait to watch another episode of The Traitors here this evening.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
How deep are we?
About midway through season one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's... business is picking up.
Yeah, Kate was just throwing buckets of money out during the challenge.
Kate is wild, man.
Are you a traitor?
Spoiler alert, faithful. By the way.
Oh, that's no spoiler.
Oh, okay.
She's also, in the show. He didn't say what her role is,
it's
Reimer.
It's 5 years old. Oh, okay. 6 years old. It was released during COVID.
I've never seen it.
Also, you're never going to watch it because there's too much college basketball on.
You could do something in the summer.
Some lady like left in the middle of the game. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Why did she just leave? Like, did something happen with her family? Was it a medical emergency? And then I like looked up an article from the year 2021 and it was like, she tested positive for COVID. I'm like, oh, this is like super old that we're watching.
Yeah. Like John Rahm walking off Muirfield Village.
God, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was one of the crazier things that's
played his whole third round with COVID and he had a 6-shot lead after.
Yeah.
I can't believe we lived through that.
That was wild. Wild times. I can't believe that Shark was able to produce a show with me, Schlegs, and Karp all in three different locations when he never produced a show before. That talk about employee of the decade and top 100 performers for this radio station since the turn of the century. Him doing that is number one all time. I didn't even know how to run the board. And he was tasked with that? Absolute craziness.
Killed it.
Yeah, he did. Did a great job. Did a great job. I need to text him.
Wonder what he's doing right now.
Probably nothing.
Spring training?
Yeah, you know what? He's probably out somewhere. I bet if I text him right now, where are you at in the world? I bet he's somewhere. He's either down in Florida or he's out in Arizona.
Ask him to jump on for a quick segment.
He'll say absolutely not. I don't even want to ask him that. He's enjoying his retirement too much.
It's true. You did promise not to do that.
Yeah, I told him. I was like, listen, man, if you ever want to come on the show, you're more than welcome to, but I'm not going to be the one to reach out and ask you because you have earned every bit of your time away from this place.
Just call in and I'll answer. We'll put you on.
Who, Shark?
Yeah.
All right. Call him. You have his number?
I don't.
Oh,
don't do
no,
that.
No, I'm telling people. Shark to call me.
Yeah, he won't. That's
him. Call him.
No, he won't.
And I'll put him on.
He's not listening. He's not. Although he was listening a couple of weeks ago, Reimer, to us do, I think, or maybe this was in December. I don't know. All my days are running together. He was listening to a basketball postgame show.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if he went to the game, whatever it was, or maybe it was after the Carolina game, and he said something about trying to keep you from having your like Carolina blue goggles on and to keep it on the straight and narrow. So he was listening. That's the last.
I did a good job that day.
He did a really good job.
Not Reimer likes North Carolina blue blood lead.
How's Duke doing tonight?
They're up 20-4.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But we had to get to this game on time, guys.
Well, if you missed the first 5 minutes, you probably missed the entire game.
Yeah, that's a good point because it's over right now.
Austin, let's get to your second question of the day. Takes us back to the Ohio State offensive line. I know that you and I had chatted in prior shows about the participants at Big Ten Media Days, who that's likely going to be for Ohio State when that rolls around in July, some of the candidates for the Block O at Ohio State. And one of your questions at Letterman Row talked about Carson Hinsman and his possibility of wearing the Block O for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, both of those conversations, captaincy, Big Ten Media Days appearance, Block O candidates, the guy who just sort of floats on the edge of that periphery conversation is always Carson Hinsman. It's a remarkable tribute to the depth of proven leadership that Ohio State has that he doesn't come up that often, even though if you ask anyone in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, that's one of the most critical retention pieces that the Buckeyes had of their offseason.
Absolutely.
I mean, and any offensive line needs their center. You have the battery with, helping get Julian Sain through year one. Now he's got his center back for year two. The conversation, communication that will go on between them. Never really had any issues with the snap. I'll knock on wood on behalf of Carson Hinsman for that, but not that he needs it or wants that kind of help. But in the locker room, in the offense, in the huddle, anywhere you look, Carson Hinsman has been an invaluable glue guy for the Buckeyes, and he's not going to seek that spotlight.
Love a glue guy.
He might seek a Dr. Pepper sponsorship.
Yeah.
He and his sidekick there, Luke Montgomery, I think they desperately want that. They need it. I don't know what's taking so long. They're doing it for free.
Post-win peps, baby.
For the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I love every part of his story, his personality, and that's just on the media side. It goes tenfold for what he brings to Ohio State in that locker room. So is he likely even to win the Block O? No, not compared to the other guys. That even on his offensive line group, like Austin Saraveld, probably be a more deserving candidate of that as a returning captain and as someone who's played multiple other positions. Is he going to be a captain? Well, Brandon Ennis is also back, so two spots are probably taken for there. But the reason that I have wanted to write that, at least put it out into the world somewhere, is to give a little bit of attention to someone who really deserves it, because he's in the mix for all of those things and probably won't win it. What he does need to win and deserves to win is the Remington Trophy. And coming into this year, the combination of leadership experience, Ohio State's offense, the success that they're going to have as a college football playoff contender should make him the odds-on favorite to win that award. I'm surprised he didn't get more traction for it a year ago because he doesn't put a foot wrong. He is a tireless worker and a really good player, and he's also a cog in that leadership wheel.
Yeah, and I think too, like when you watch football games, and naturally I've said this a million times on these airwaves, like I'm watching the offensive line, and even for me, you don't really notice the center unless you're talking about botch snaps or you're talking about you know, someone not being able to really establish the run game up the middle. And the way that Ohio State has run the ball, they're really not trying to run the ball up the middle. I mean, if they did, it was over that left side, and it wasn't at all what you weren't looking at Carson Hinsman one bit when they were trying to establish the run game. It's, you know, when you're looking at the offensive line and you notice something, you're usually noticing the tackles if they're missing blocks and the pocket collapsing, like we were talking about for the Indiana loss, the Miami loss. It becomes that much more critical about your outside blockers. But to your point, you never get the shine really as an interior offensive lineman unless it's going bad. Like, you never get the praise, you never get the kudos. Carson Hinsman last year did a fantastic job, and I can't wait to see what is in store for him. Not that anyone is going to notice it, what he's doing on a day-in, day-out basis, but that quarterback-center combo and the amount of trust that you need to have and chemistry with one another, I mean, that is huge. So even for a Julian Sand perspective, having his center back yet again for this season, I think is already an inherent advantage for Julian going into year number two.
The truth is that Carson Hinsman would be just fine without anyone ever pointing him out or putting the spotlight on him or talking about him the way that we are right now.
And he is doing just fine.
And yeah, he's totally comfortable with that, which is also why he is so important to have in the locker room and so important as a leader. It is not about him, as they say all the time. You play for the name on the front of the jersey and not the one on the back. And, you know, the length of Carson Hinsman's career, the ups and downs that he has gone through. I mean, how many other guys, can't prove it, so it's a hypothetical, have a starting role, play for a full year, your team goes out and brings in a veteran at your position from Alabama, he becomes the starter, you go to the bench in the transfer portal and the NIL era, how many of those guys are be like, you know what? That's probably the best thing for me.
A lot of them.
I'm going to continue to develop.
He may have been being told that as well.
I mean, but just having your feelings hurt. I'm going to go elsewhere. I started at Ohio State. 100 other programs will give me the opportunity to do that and pay me for it immediately. That was not the tact that Carson Hinsman took. He went back to work. He was, I think that summer was an Iron Buckeye, even though Seth McLaughlin was on the rise to take that job.
I think you're right.
I believe that was the case. And we're like, yeah, maybe this is a more competitive battle at center than anyone really thought. He then got sidetracked a little bit by the illness that went through the team before the 2024 season and scrambled up the positions and the depth throughout that training camp. I think it took him a little bit longer to get his feet under him. But then, you know, Seth McLaughlin won the Remington Trophy, but then the injuries hit. And Carson Hinsman was like, I'm good right here. I'll go play guard. And he did that for a couple games at a really high level. And then people are like, well, maybe Carson Hinsman just should have been a guard all along. And then Seth McLaughlin goes down.
Like, boy, this guy's pretty good.
Season-ending injury. All right, I'll go back to center.
Yeah.
Guess what? Ohio State wins a national championship there. At no point did I ever hear Carson Hinsman say, you know what? This is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
I should have had this role. This belonged to me. No. I mean, they just... The example that those two guys both working together was awesome to watch transpire, and it did make Carson Hinsman better in the long run. And I think he would be the first to admit that swallowing your pride and going to work and, you know, seeing it through to the other side, maybe that's just that, you know, Midwestern work ethic, but that's also why you need guys like that on your team.
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't get the, you know, public acknowledgement of a Blocko winner or captain this year, but I can tell you one thing, that Carson Hinsman is continuing to put in the work right now over at the Woody and has been doing so for many a years congruently.
Yeah. And just saying, I think it's important because it may be obvious to some or many who the top two or three candidates are likely winners for it. Just like last year, Sonny is going to be the Blocko.
Mm-hmm.
And there are not a ton of options that I think are legitimate winners, but that makes it, I think, more relevant to point out, well, you may have identified these three. Here's the next three or four, and Carson Hinsman is squarely in that group.
If mock drafts are true, then one Buckeye has got a shot to make history in April's NFL draft. We'll do that coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show.
I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We're very close to Buckeye football. Very close. Uncomfortably close. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us. Hopefully your Tuesday's going nice and according to plan. Seen the weather for this week?
I'm afraid to look after what we saw over the last 48 hours.
I mean, it's I think, going to be warmer tomorrow than what it was today. And then it's going to get cold back into the weekend. And then next week, it's going to be back up to like 60 again.
Yesterday morning, I get up to go do morning juice. Mm-hmm. It's snowing. I'm like, what is going on? I thought we were done. Buckeye Chuck told me that spring was here. Last week was like, when I called in on Wednesday night,
I know.
Reimer's like, did you go hit golf balls today? He's like, I should have. I could have.
San Diego of the Midwest.
I was like, this is great. It's over. It's going to be beautiful for my birthday. No. But so I.
60 and sunny on your birthday.
Well, yeah, I know, but we had to go through a little bit of a setback.
When's your birthday?
Saturday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big. You go watch college basketball?
It's going to be watching the Elimination Chamber at the Madhouse on Mass.
Yeah, you need to add it to your screen when you're on ESPN.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you can watch the PLEs now. That's a reminder. Helpful from WWE and CM Punk.
Do they start on time?
It'll start on time. Okay. I guarantee you that. Yeah. So after the show, driving home, it's like, it's a mess. It's still snowing.
Bring your brain.
And even after we had the snowpocalypse a couple weeks ago, and our neighborhood took forever to plow, I never had any problems with the vehicle, like getting in and out of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Once it wasn't sliding around. We had like half an inch of snow on the ground, and I almost took out the mailbox. Like nothing from the previous 3 weeks, and then yesterday, and I was going like 10 miles an hour. I've been driving on snow since I got a license.
Shirley Basin, man.
Shirley Basin hardens you. It puts hair on your chest. It
really does.
And I'm skidding, and I'm like, I'm going right at this mailbox. I don't know what's going to happen. I steer it because it's a straight shot almost, like a slight
turn. Is this your mailbox?
Yeah, my mailbox.
Okay, well, at least it's yours.
But I'm befuddled. Like, 2 hours later, there was nothing on the road.
Yeah.
Like, what caused this? There's no ice out here. Like, the day before it had snowed, it was all immediately gone. But I'm headed right for it. And I said, it's not good out there. I don't know what the bus is going to do. I almost took out the mailbox. And Allie said, you should have. We need a new mailbox.
This house is a prison.
I don't think that's how this works. But, I mean, I think it would have probably done some damage to my vehicle.
Probably.
Going up on the curb and then taking out the mailbox. I don't know for sure. I don't know if we want that. No. I want a new mailbox. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, I was telling you about the roads.
Add it to the list.
Anyway, it's beautiful now.
Yeah, it was like 6:45 and William's bedroom is right next to a window, and he pulls up the blinds basically, and all I heard at 6:45, it snowed, let's go play in the snow. I'm like, dude, it's way earlier than what you should be waking up right now. Mom is still at home. She usually leaves at 7, and then I'm tasked with taking over from 7 to whenever he gets up. I'm like, well, there's no chance he even is close to going back to sleep at this point. I was reading this earlier today. Mel Kiper released his latest mock draft. What is this? I don't know exactly what iteration of his mock draft is. Is this mock draft 1.0, 2.0?
There's whatever. No way it's 1.0.
No, he's been doing these for a while.
It's got to be 53.
Number one on his mock draft, latest mock draft that came out earlier today, the Las Vegas Raiders selecting Fernando Mendoza, quarterback, Indiana.
Shocker.
Yep. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised by that. When we reach the NFL draft in late April, overwhelming favorite to be number one especially with just the season that he put in. Raiders needing a quarterback, whatever. He's going to go number one. Number two, this is where it was a little bit surprising. If you look at a lot of mock drafts, Arvell Reese projected to go number two, or picked mock draft to go number two in a lot of these. Obviously, freakish in nature, athleticism. We'll see. He's going to put his full displays at the combine, which is going to be awesome to see a little bit later this week in Indianapolis. And I think, I don't know if it was you and me talking about this, Austin, last week, or who it was doing the show with. I'm like, I don't know, man. Aaron Glenn, defensive guy. Caleb Downs seems like a, you know, kind of set it and forget it kind of player. If you want immediate ability to help out your defense, Caleb seems like the kind of guy to do that. Again, this is a New York Jets team who made NFL history this season by not intercepting a single pass in a passing league in a 17-game regular season. Mel Kiper's mock draft that just got released today has Caleb Downs going number two to the New York Football Jets, which actually would make history because it would be the highest a safety would ever be taken in an NFL draft, which would be quite the accomplishment for Caleb Downs.
I can't believe how lucky I was to get to cover. I mean, I mean this with no disrespect to guys like Malik Hooker or Jordan Fuller, but before I got here, I was covering a different program in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I got to watch Eric Berry on a day in, day out basis. And I thought I'll never see something like that again in my lifetime.
And he was terrific.
He was so good.
And Afraid of Horses, also terrific.
And robbed of some of the prime years of his career.
Absolutely.
Due to a health setback. Phenomenal human, phenomenal player in every way. Like, I didn't think that that unicorn would cross my path ever again. And lo and behold, Caleb Downs comes along, and it's not fair to compare. They're 1A and 1AA. Like, they are both elite humans, elite safeties, phenomenal players. And if Caleb Downs is able to surpass that, I believe Eric Berry went fifth to the Chiefs. I mean, how cool would that be? I feel lucky for that, and Caleb Downs deserves it. I worry, though, that once you get closer to the draft, that you'll hear some of the same things that you would hear about a Malik Hooker or an Eric Berry.
You're going to hear it no matter what. Yeah. All these guys, and I know that there's negative recruiting in college football that goes on all the time.
That's nothing compared to the NFL propaganda
machine. The NFL propaganda machine is out of control. So listen, if you're listening here tonight, just know that at 7:39 here on Tuesday, February 24th, when you get into the late stages of March and you get into April and you got free agency going on and all of a sudden the NFL starting to lock in on the draft, know where your information is coming from and know which teams are putting it out. Because I'm sure a team a la, I don't know, maybe at number 10 in the Cincinnati Bengals would love to have a player of Caleb Downs' ability.
About that. Maybe I should be part of the propaganda machine.
But don't listen to what's being said negatively, because you'll have all kinds of negative stories coming out about
these
guys.
I don't know. Caleb didn't look at the box score, okay? He didn't make that
Actually,
many plays.
You know what? Eric Berry was better.
Eric Berry, he would stuff the stat sheet. He also wasn't surrounded by the elite talent like Arvell Reese and Caden McDonald. I don't know about this Caleb Downs. 10 seems about right to me.
That's, he can't go single digits.
No, that...
Can't do that.
And if not, like, I mean, Arvell could have made more sacks down the stretch. I mean, maybe he should be number the 10th pick of the draft. Or, I don't know, Carnell Tate or Caden McDonald, Sonny Styles. Give me one of them.
I just think that as you get closer, you are going to hear some weird stuff about, and this isn't just an Ohio State thing. I mean, it's all these prospects that are going to go, kind of their names being thrown into the mud.
I think that Arvell stuff people will say, and it will be the biggest smokescreen you've ever seen.
Yeah, Arvell mocked in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, going number four to the Tennessee Titans. Still incredible. Projected, I think, in every mock draft, going inside of the top five. At number six, you have the Cleveland Football Browns taking wide receiver for the Ohio State University, Carnell Tate. Swiftly after, number seven, the Washington Commanders drafting linebacker Sonny Styles. So according to Mel Kiper, you have four Buckeyes being mocked to be taken in the top seven of the NFL draft. Whoa!
developed here, I think, Columbus, Ohio.
I believe so. That's not the only Buckeyes that were mock draft either, because you have to go down to number 25.
He's not going to last there.
No, I don't think he is. But if he does, I think this team should definitely pick him up. Number 25 to the Chicago Bears defensive tackle, Caden McDonald.
Is this your mock draft?
Yeah,
I thought this was Mel Kiper.
This is Mel Kiper's mock draft. I'm just reading this to you. I'm reading this all to you. All
I
right?
think it says Brandon Beam on it.
Yeah. I would love that. I would also love Caleb Downs, but there is no shot that he's getting to number 25.
There's
not
no
even
shot that
he's not getting to the Bengals at number 10. He might not get to the Browns at 6.
There's no shot that K-Mac is lasting until 25 either.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
None. Come on, Mel.
No. No chance that that happens.
I do think it was pretty cool that when we were listening to James earlier in the show, that he said that Patricia is like calling these guys and hitting them real quick with like just an off the wall question, preparing them for interviews at the combine. I feel like that's like nobody is going to know more about what goes on in those rooms than Matt Patricia. So
100%.
I think that's huge
or
for some of these guys.
What they're looking for. Like, what are you looking for with those questions too? Which a lot of the times they're not looking for anything. They're just looking to rattle you with how you answer things.
And the player, if you had to name one, and James Laurinaitis was talking about the relationships that Matt Patricia forged with all of the defensive players, if you had to only pick one, who was the closest player and coach to, you know, player and coach relationship last season? Matt Patricia and Caden McDonald. Mm-hmm. And I feel very strongly about this. I am certain that I'm right, that Matt Patricia's resources at the NFL level and the people that he knows gave more direct feedback to where Caden McDonald was going to be drafted than any of these other players. It's very easy to do that with Caleb Downs. Very easy to do that with Arvell and Sonny. Mm-hmm. Much of the mock draft conversation, much of the scouting evaluation, and some of the conversation that was going on with NIL opportunities for Caden McDonald to come back was like, well, if you're not assured of being a first round pick, here's X amount of dollars to come back to Ohio State. And the longer that those conversations went on and the more information that whoever was helping funnel to Caden McDonald, and I trust it implicitly, and I know Caden McDonald did too, it's like, you're not going to last until, it's not even a conversation. You're going to be a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees on that. And then it shifted from, well, not just the end of the first round, like top 15. And then that amount of money becomes much more difficult for Ohio State to match. So I feel pretty good about predicting top half of the first round for K-Mac, and he deserves it.
Doesn't mean that the Indiana Bears can't move up in the draft and trade something away still to get him. Well, one of the top 12.
We've seen that the Bears are very willing to move.
Yes, they are. We know that for sure. Even out of their home state if they need to. We got an update from Shark of where he's at in the world.
What?
And also our fan poll was a real brain bender today. We'll get into that in hashtag Buckeyes next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad.
Hey, folks, it's Bert.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet. Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains. And Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add on your choice of a sub, salad, wings, a 10-inch pizza, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donatos.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donatos. Gotta love more.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive. Buckeye Nation, join us on April 12th at the 2026 Ohio State 4-Miler, presented by Union Home Mortgage, the Ohio Beef Council, and Raising Cane's. This is your chance to run down a tunnel and finish on the 50-yard line at Ohio Stadium. You can also get access to the home locker room and meet some of your favorite Buckeye student-athletes. A portion of the proceeds benefit the Buckeye Crews for Cancer. This is something you won't want to miss. Register today at OhioState4Miler.com. Go Bucks!
Want to know anything about the fans' contests, how to win, or what's up for grabs? Check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Final segment for us here on this Tuesday. Now, before we get to our brain-bending fan poll from earlier today, I want to give you guys a little update earlier this hour. We asked, where in the world is Shark? I will give you guys one final time to rack your brains. Is he either A, in Powell, Ohio, which is where he resides, or B, somewhere else entirely? It is the month of February. He is now retired. That's usually the time for retired people to go somewhere else. What say you guys? Where is Mark the Shark? Is he currently at home, or is he currently somewhere else in the world?
Well, I had posited that he was at spring training, but your confidence in giving me the option of him being at home tells me that's he must be there.
He is not currently at home. He is somewhere else in the world.
I think he is in Glendale, Arizona.
He is not in Glendale, Arizona. Matter of fact, he's not even in the United States of America.
Whoa.
He's traveling internationally. Just got this great picture from Mark the Shark asking how his retirement tour is going. I said, Sharky, we're playing a game right now on the radio. Where in the world is Grandpa Shark? And he sends a text. He sends just a picture of him in a lovely looking swimming pool. And he said, Shark is currently in Mexico. Cabo, baby.
Oh, boy.
What a time. What a time for him.
That's awesome.
He deserves every bit of that.
I guess if we're doing prices right, I was closest on location geographically.
It is closer than Powell.
Yeah.
Yes. I would think that Scottsdale, Glendale is closer than Powell to Cabo. I don't know, though. We have to go to the map and check, but I think you're probably closer to that.
We'll fact
rhyme.
Check it again.
Yeah, we'll have to. Distance from Cabo, closer. Glendale, Arizona, or Powell, Ohio. How could we be sure? Before we get out of here tonight, our fan poll at 971thefan.com or on X at 971thefan. Who has the tougher coaching job this upcoming season in 2026 for Ohio State? I actually think this is a really solid question. Is that A, Matt Patricia, or B, Arthur Smith? Now, there are currently over 200 votes in this thing on X, the Everything website. Arthur Smith has 64% of the vote. Matt Patricia has 36% of the vote. I understand both sides to this argument. Matt Patricia is going into year number two, reloading a lot on the defensive side. I mean, we just talked about all the guys projected to go in the first round. That's four first rounders from his defense that's going to go. That's not including Davis and Igbinosa and these other guys as well. Caden Curry that he's losing, among others. Arthur Smith coming into year number one, first year dropping back down to college. Arthur Smith, though, also has Jeremiah Smith, also has Julian Sain returning, also has a great offensive line returning. If I were inclined to answer this, I would say that the tougher coaching job for 2026, from just an overall standpoint, with the talent that is coming back versus what you're bringing in as to how you're doctoring up your respective lines of scrimmage, offensively, defensively,
yeah.
I think I would tend to say that Matt Patricia has the tougher job in 2026.
I'm pretty surprised at that voting result because to me it seems clear that it is Matt Patricia, and maybe he made it look so easy last year that he's not getting enough credit for how difficult it was to retool and reload all of those NFL departures. It feels like it was 10 years ago at this point, but we spent all of last offseason talking about Jack, JT, Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton, Cody Simon being gone, Denzel Burke, you know, Lathan Ransom, Jordan Hancock. It's easy to rattle them off now.
I can't believe that was a year ago.
That was a year ago at this time. They were getting ready for the NFL Combine. And my goodness, look at all this talent. And Matt Patricia's got a lot to do and a lot to prove in a short period of time. Can he match what Jim Knowles was able to do for these national champions in the number one defense in the country? The fact that he did so and perhaps surpassed it, you look at that and say, oh, well, should be no problem. He'll just do it again.
Yeah.
And maybe he will. In fact, I would bet that he does, but doesn't mean that it's going to be easy or that it's not very challenging, because it absolutely is. And I'm not trying to undermine or underestimate the challenge that's in front of Arthur Smith.
Absolutely not.
But he is not being asked to come in and like, please save us.
Yeah.
Overhaul the Ohio State offense.
It's fine.
It's not broken. It does need tweaks. It does need enhancements. We saw that against Indiana and Miami. That has to happen. Bet it will happen. But that's some of the things where, you know, even the skepticism that we had, or I had, maybe not you, and definitely not Bobby, about, like, how's this going to work?
I had skepticism
about Matt Patricia with hiring. The relationships and Belichick tree and all those things that seem ridiculous now in hindsight. Like, the one thing that I latched onto then is like, well, I mean, this is a Super Bowl winning coordinator. Mm-hmm. He's dropping down to the college level. The things that we're wondering about are like recruiting related and relationship building. There was never a point where I'm like, gosh, I wonder if Matt Patricia can design a defense that would win games in the Big Ten. Like, you already knew that he was capable of that, like the schematic parts. Like,
it was the other things that you were skeptical about.
And, you know, I think there's an element of that could be the same scenario for Arthur Smith, but a lot of the stuff about him in terms of personality or, you know, the lack of success with the Falcons, there's not a single person that I'm like, well, he can't draw up plays for Ohio State. He can't call plays at Ohio State. Of course he can. Like, he's done it at the highest level, and everyone speaks so highly of him. So you're giving him these resources. You don't have to recruit. That's not what he's being asked to do. You have Jeremiah. You have Julian Sain. You mentioned the offensive line. You have Bo Jackson back, Isaiah West, you know, veteran tight ends. Like, he's got everything he could possibly want to succeed. I don't view his job as challenging as what Matt Patricia has to do to match what Matt Patricia did a year ago.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And again, I'm surprised that the vote went Arthur Smith's way instead of Matt Patricia. Again, just because it was good last year doesn't mean it's going to be good this year. We're all expecting it to be good, but it's still a much more challenging job to reload on the defensive side of the ball than the offense. And still, you're kind of still working with Ryan Day's lingo inside of the parameters of the Ohio State offense. You're not being asked to retool the entire thing. Now, Matt Patricia wasn't asked to retool the entire thing either for Ohio State's defense, but that's also because if Matt Patricia needed to, wanted to, he would be able to do that overnight. At least from a schematic standpoint, implementing it and putting it in would be an entirely different story. But if he wanted to, he could.
And just because we're saying that it is quote unquote tougher doesn't mean that I think he won't do it. I think he will. He's earned the benefit of the doubt overnight. And Ohio State is not devoid of talent. And the places that they had to retool, well, Matt Patricia was also involved in that.
Austin, had a great time with you tonight. Had so much fun. Let's do it again tomorrow, shall we?
That sounds wonderful.
Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll be on for an hour tomorrow, then the Inside Edge, then Buckeye Hoops tomorrow evening. Talk to you then. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.